If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And while you're turning there, let me ask you, do you ever have any dreams? I think most of us have dreams. If you don't remember your dreams, apparently that means you're unwell or something. But a lot of us have dreams. And when you have one that's so vivid or frightening that it wakes you up, what do you do? Most of us sit up in bed and we breathe a sigh of relief that it was just a dream, not real. Well, in Isaiah 6, we have something that Isaiah saw. He saw a vision. And when he came out of this vision, although the experience was over, he didn't breathe a sigh of relief because it wasn't real, because it was real. We read this in Isaiah 6. This really happened to Isaiah. He says, "In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed.' Then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And he answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump.'" So that's the very real thing that Isaiah saw and heard. And he knew that what he saw and heard is going to change him and his world forever. Now, very quickly, I want to summarize verses 1 to 8, the first half of that, and then we'll focus a little bit on the second half. First, we have Isaiah in the presence of God. And just like John and Daniel, other people in the Bible who saw God, he's filled with fear. He's trembling, falls on his face like a dead man, because he knows that this God that he sees is holy, untouched by sin, completely undefiled, perfect, pure. And Isaiah is just a man. And just like any other man, just like any of us in this room, he's a sinner. He's done things that are wrong, thought and seen, and said things that are wrong. And he knows that this is a contradiction. It's not possible for there to be a holy God and a sinful person in the same place at the same time. And so we might expect, like Isaiah, that he's now undone, finished, done for, toast. This holy God, he has nothing to do with evil. He must judge if he's to remain perfect and just and right. Instead, what we see is Isaiah's sin is purged. God takes his sin away by a coal that comes from the altar of sacrifice. Something, someone has died instead of Isaiah dying. And so his sin's taken away, and he's made fit now to serve God. Now he can do good things for God, because God has taken his sin away. Now the question is, Knowing now that Isaiah is a prophet, the question is, what is Isaiah's message? What will God give Isaiah to tell the people? And so we read that in verse 9. God speaks to Isaiah and he lays out Isaiah's ministry before him. He says, Isaiah, you'll say this. This is how the people will receive it. This is what's going to happen as a result. He says, Isaiah, tell the people, thus says the Lord, listen. But don't understand. Thus says the Lord, look. But don't see anything. Don't perceive. In so speaking, God is using the same sort of terminology as when he made the whole world, when he made the universe and everything in it. When God says, let there be light, there is light. And so now he speaks and he says, let there be hearing. Hear the message from God, but let no one understand it. It's a little bit like what happens here every single Sunday when our pastor preaches and we have our Iranian brothers and sisters who join us and they sit here and the service is translated for them. And we can all hear the sounds. We can all hear them speaking Farsi. But I don't have any Farsi. Not many of us here do. We can hear every single sound that is being made, but we don't understand a word. This is a harsh judgment. And it would be very unusual if none of us here thought, that sounds unfair. That sounds unfair. It sounds not right. It sounds so harsh, a judgment. For God to speak to the whole world, but not let anyone understand. The answer to that is found in the next verse, and how the New Testament also uses the same verse. You see, verse 10 of Isaiah 6 goes like this. It sounds like a continuation of verse 9, where God tells Isaiah, make the people's hearts heavy, shut their eyes, stop their ears, deafen them, lest they hear and be saved. But when we turn to the New Testament and see, how did Jesus use the same verse? How did the apostles use that verse? Let me read it to you. This is from Matthew 13. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I speak to them, the people, in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. You see, Jesus says it is because they will not see that they are blind. Paul does exactly the same thing in Acts 28. He says it's because they will not hear, because they will not listen, that they are deafened. And so the image is not, please rid this from your mind if it's there, the image is not God Almighty, the gracious and the kind, blindfolding the world and then judging them for not looking. The image is of all of us wandering around with our eyes clasped shut, lest we see the light, lest we see Jesus Christ and him crucified, lest we turn and be saved. We shut our eyes, we will not look, we love darkness, not light. And so God blindfolds us. God blinds us. He deafens us. This is a grim ministry for Isaiah. It's the worst thing that someone like me, a trainee pastor, could hear. This is your ministry. You will speak and nobody will hear. You see, Isaiah knows what he will preach already. But there is hope, thankfully. There is hope. God says that even though they will not listen, even though they cannot hear, nevertheless, some will hear, some will see, some will turn and be saved. Nevertheless, there will be a remnant. See, Isaiah knows his ministry. He knows he will preach the message of God. He knows that people will not listen, they cannot hear, and nevertheless people will turn and be saved. Very quickly, let me ask you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. And I'll read a section from here. This is the ministry that we've just read about of Isaiah's is copied for our Lord Jesus in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and from verse 37. Listen carefully. Although Jesus had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw Jesus in his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus. See, the same ministry is repeated again. And it's repeated in our day. You see, Jesus knows his ministry before it occurred too, that he will preach the message of God. And he knows that people will not listen, and people will not see, and they cannot. And nevertheless, he knows that people will turn and be saved. I wonder if you can think of any examples of this. I'll give you one. Saul of Tarsus. If ever there was a man who should have believed, it was him. He knew all the stuff. He had all the head start he needed to believe in the Lord Jesus. But in his own words, he would not believe in it. And in his own words, a veil was on his heart that he could not believe in it. Nevertheless, Saul of Tarsus was converted. He saw the light. In fact, he was blinded by that light, which he would not look at. And seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the blindness, his spiritual blindness, gave way to sight. The scales fell from his eyes, and he became a believer. Can you think of any other examples? How about you and me? If you are a believer if you are a believer, it is because although you would not look, although you could not hear the gospel, nevertheless, Jesus broke into your life by the power of his Holy Spirit and saved you. If you're not a believer this evening, this may yet be true of you. Although even at this moment, you will not listen, you will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, although you cannot, although you are lame, blind, deaf, dead in sins, nevertheless, because of the mercy and the grace of our God, you may yet come to see the light. Now, I know this isn't very festive. What has all this got to do with a new year? Well, I hope that you can see that while this is true for Isaiah's day, that his people would not listen, could not hear, and nevertheless many of them did. And like it was true for Jesus' day, although many people saw the miracles he did, they would not believe in him, and nevertheless many of them did. So it is true for us. We know our ministry like Isaiah and like the Lord Jesus did before it starts. In 2020, this church and all the churches across Cardiff will preach. We will all preach from our pulpits and from our lives, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday by Sunday, the scriptures will be read. Toddlers by toddlers, Friday night live by Friday night live, coffee morning by coffee morning, elderly people's lunches to elderly people's lunches. The gospel will go out to a people, a city, a nation, a country, a world that will not listen, that are blinded, incapable of hearing the gospel, and nevertheless, people will hear, people will see, people will be saved in 2020 because of the sure mercy of our God. Although this gospel goes into a place filled exclusively with blind and deaf people, we can be filled with courage knowing that we hear the same words as Paul I yet have many people in this city. Doesn't that take a weight off? Knowing this is God's work. Now, I haven't actually said what this message is. Look back again at John 12. What is this message that we are to preach? What is it that we're to tell people? John 12, we've just read that section where Isaiah 6 is referenced. Nevertheless, many believed in him. And then Jesus cries out and he says, "He who believes in me believes not only in me, but in him who sent me." That's his Father in heaven. "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." You see, Jesus, still thinking about and referencing and talking about Isaiah 6, about the blindness of the world, he says, when you believe in me, that blindness goes away. When you believe in me, I am the light that scatters the darkness. Jesus says that he is the cure for our blindness, the darkness that is in this world, for our unbelief. He is the cure. And so as a church, this is our message. We preach a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here not to give a concept, not to give pep talks. As lovely as things like encouragement are and the works that the church can do, they are manifold and multicolored. But we're here to preach a person. Let me ask you, if you are saved, to what were you saved? Was it a denomination? Was it a religion, a particular church? No. You were saved to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the day when the scales fell from your eyes and you saw him, your Savior, the Lord Jesus, this person that you met, that you couldn't see, that you wouldn't see, but now you do. No, the church is here to preach a person, because people fall in love with people, not ideas, not concepts, not religions, but people. And so, this year, as we preach the gospel, as we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go on being salt and light in this world, knowing that we're giving the gospel to a people that will not, that cannot hear, nevertheless they shall. And so let us make like Paul and be determined to know nothing among them and nothing among ourselves but this person, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Because that is our message, a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. We won't look at him. We won't. We can't. Nevertheless, by the grace of God, many of us have, and many, many more will. And so we can commit that to the Lord in prayer, knowing that he is good and gracious, and that he yet has his people even in this city. So I hope that's an encouragement to us. I'm going to quickly pray, and then are we singing our last song then? Yeah? I'll pray then with us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, who in himself has cured our blindness and cured our darkness. We thank you that he is the light that scatters this darkness. Lord, we confess before you, Lord, that we are blind and deaf and lame and dead in our sins without you. And we plead with you, Lord, have mercy on us according to your loving kindness, according to your patience and your grace. Have mercy on us and our families. Please bless the works and the endeavors of this church as we attempt to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus and what he has done to make us right with God. Please, Lord, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, open the mouth of the dumb who cannot, who will not speak your praises. Work miracles before us, we pray. Raise the dead in Jesus' name. Amen.